And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I'm Doug Hagman at the helm with fellow investigator, researcher, and most importantly, my son Joe Hagman. Together we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Eric the Tech is over there laughing, saying, can you even talk tonight? Well, folks, we've got a tremendous show for you planned this evening. Our very special guest is a presidential candidate. Now, you may or may not have ever heard of Mr. Tom Hoefling. He's in the running. He will be on all of the ballots, and he is a viable presidential candidate. You know, it's interesting, the right-left paradigm. It's interesting how we are programmed, ladies and gentlemen, to believe that only certain people, perhaps royalty, can be coronated, you know, as president, that we don't have a choice beyond the Hillary's or the Bush's or the Clinton's or, well, that's a Hillary, I guess. Or,
see, the choice is there. You can be on the ballot. You just don't get the news coverage or any of the publicity.
Well, right. But, you know, it's one thing I've heard over the last several months, really, even going back to 2012, is, my goodness, you know, I'm a Christian, I'm a conservative Christian, and we have to vote for the lesser of two evils, or we have to accept. But we see, folks, remember all of the talk about the programming, the Tavistockian mentality, that we can't fight City Hall, that we have to conform to a certain model or paradigm, or some sort of anyone outside of a certain group of select individuals, impossible. Well, we're here to tell you that if you are a Christian conservative listening tonight, there is absolutely no reason for you to sit out and say, there's nobody that represents the Christian conservative or Christian values. No. See, we've all been gamed, we've all been lied to, we've all been pressured and pressed into this mindset that not only can't we fight City Hall, but there's no one out there that represents my interests as a conservative, evangelical Christian, or a constitutionalist.
Take the steps to fight City Hall, you're going to face resistance, whether from local bureaucrats or police departments or local non-governmental organizations, whether the Freedom From Religious Foundation to the ACLU, they're out there, the SPLC, and they are salivating, waiting for people to step out of line.
Well, yes, but even aside from that, you've got this mindset that's erroneous, that our parents drilled into us, even me at my young age of, well, look at me. I'm just a young guy. All right. So,
41, maybe?
Oh, hey, not a day past 39 several times, but numerous times. But you know, here's the thing. We've been programmed. It's got to be either Trump or it's got to be Clinton, or it's got to be the establishment or the fringe establishment, or it's going to be the people that Fox or MSNBC or CNN say, these are the people, these are the candidates. And
it could be a candidate, but they still could be fringe, even though they're the GOP candidate, according to Fox, because they're not their actual choice of candidate.
Yeah, and you know, of course, if you suggest, and this is kind of a long introduction, but I think it's necessary because a lot of people have listened to this program, and I've gotten so many emails saying, well, there's just nobody out there. And of course, you know, for example, Mike Huckabee, he's not in the race or what, you know, well, so we're stuck. No, you're not stuck. And we're here to tell you tonight that if you are a conservative Christian, a constitutionalist, someone who believes in the value or in the importance of voting your evangelical ideology or voting in terms of your constitution, your constitutional, you know, wanting to adhere to the Constitution, and if you believe that the Constitution is the law of the land, not some perverted nine black terrorist robed judges who want to redefine morality, then listen to tonight's program as it unfolds, because you are going to be very pleasantly surprised. Before we get into the programming tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I do want to make a couple of quick announcements. I want to really pound this home. Folks, our website's HagmanandHagman.com, and I want to thank JD tonight for picking up the posting tonight's show on that website. That's our job here at the studio, and things got a little bit crazy for the last couple of hours, but thank you, JD. He's doing such a wonderful job. Rhonda, thank you so much for all you do. But HagmanandHagman.com, that's this show website, HagmanReport.com. News, articles, information, analyses, which I've been told that's the plural for analysis. There you can find it. So bookmark HagmanandHagman.com and HagmanReport.com, two separate entities working parallel but offering different parts of the same mechanism. And, of course, my Doug Hagman, my little portion of the Internet is HomelandSecurityUS.com. And folks, you know the story on that. We, after 9/11, that's it was started. We interfaced with government agencies until we started infiltrating terrorist groups and kept bumping into CIA assets and FBI assets all over the place and bumping heads and turning over information that was never or hardly ever dealt with. But that's HomelandSecurityUS.com. So three websites right now. And later on in the week, we were going to be talking about the Christian marketplace. Folks,
JD's done some great things
with
that.
Yes, and let me tell you something. It's the time has come. Those people who believed in us in the very beginning, when this was just a nugget of an idea, just an idea that was formulating, and people said, you know what, this sounds really good, so we're going to sign on. A message to you. You're going to be hearing from me, because you believed in us when we were just the caterpillar, you know, and now it's going to turn into a butterfly. And I will say that everyone who has believed in us, I want to say thank you, and that's going to be making some great headway, great news, and that's the Christian marketplace. But everything is available off of HagmanandHagman.com. That's HagmanandHagman.com, including watching the show via our official YouTube channel. One more announcement there. Folks, help us out. We want to get to 100,000 subscribers. We could do that really falling off our chair. I will say that there's been some hanky-panky with the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, say what you will, believe what you might. But the fact is, it's a different world out there than it was 6 months ago or a year ago, a much different world. Now, the other thing, and I'm so proud to mention this portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. Some people believe we're nuts. Some people know we're nuts. Some people just call us nuts. But one thing we are happy nuts.com customers. I just got my order in of the dried fruit. Oh my goodness! I ate the entire bag.
What happened?
I ate it. It did not last in the studio more than 10 minutes. But nuts.com, they are what a great website, folks. This is a family-owned business since 1929, and they offer thousands upon thousands of selections at nuts.com. Some of the best tasting nuts.
Yep, a lot
snacks.
More than nuts.
Oh my goodness.
Coffee, snacks.
Yes.
All kinds of different flavor type, you know, with the yogurt pretzels.
Oh, man. Yes.
Those, I mean, they have a wide variety of healthy snacks, and they have the Hagman and Hagman listeners in mind offering specials.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, what you need to do, folks, is really simple. Go to nuts.com in the microphone box. Our code, what is it? HH, right? Of course it is. See, I had to test everyone. So go to nuts.com, microphone code HH. Order your snacks, your nuts today. More on that later.
I do have an announcement.
Yes.
Just an announcement too, and then we'll get to our guests, and I'll do the whole announcement later. But the live stream link for Hear the Watchman Conference is available. If you use the promo code HH, that'll let them know where you heard about this from, but we'll get into that more. I don't want to delay our guest anymore tonight, as he is a presidential candidate, and I want to thank Greg Jackson for setting this up. Dan, I'll let you do the introducing,
well,
because you wrote this, and you wrote the description here.
Right. Tom Hoefling is a viable presidential candidate. He's a statesman. His website is tomhoefling.com.
And to spell that,
H-O-E-F-L-I-N-G. Yeah. Folks, go to HagmanandHagman.com, and you can see the article that links to tonight's program.
Also, under the YouTube description, in the YouTube description, there are links to his website and information.
And go to his website, take a look at the platform on which he is running, and understand, folks, I guess the most important thing, and we're going to let Mr. Hoefling discuss the rest, but what's the most important thing to understand is, do not believe the mainstream corporate captured mass media when they say, well, it's the only viable candidates are Trump, Cruz, Rubio, Hillary, or Sanders, or whatever. No, you've got choices, and as a Christian, you've got not just choices, but you have got an obligation. An obligation.
Just want to tell you on your note, your Wi-Fi is off. That's why you can't connect to the internet.
Of course it is.
And with that, let's bring on Mr. Tom Hoefling. Tom, it is great to meet you. It is a pleasure to have you on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Thank you so much for coming on.
Joe, Doug, thank you so much for having me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, the pleasure is ours, and folks, just to give you a little bit of background on this, and I've said this before, there are other candidates.
We had Ron Paul in 08.
Well,
I mean, he was a candidate that was an option aside from the mainstream candidates.
Right. But
Ross Perot in 91.
Yeah, right now for 2016, there are other candidates, including but not limited to Donald Trump, who have expressed interest and are trying to come on our program. It's just a scheduling issue. Now, having said that, the reason I mention that is because that might be like, oh, that's instant name recognition, but so what? See, the candidates, the way I look at things is the background, let me just go backwards and say this. I was introduced to Mr. Tom Hoefling by Greg Jackson, gregjackson.com, the author and, of course, speaker, former talk show host, and he said, you've got to meet Mr. Hoefling, and you've got to talk with him, and you got to understand what he represents. And yes, he is a viable candidate. So I spoke with him yesterday off air for some time, and he explained to me pretty much the system, the workings of the political system in America. And folks, my eyes were opened, because I did not realize not just the depth and breadth of the programming and propaganda, but the fact of the matter is that we have this choice of candidates, and don't be fooled. Mr. Tom Hoefling, as a statesman, as a constitutionalist, as a conservative Christian, is someone who I would love to see in the White House. Mr. Hoefling, let's just start. Who is Tom Hoefling, sir?
Well, I'm a Christian. That's the first thing, of course. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I'm a husband. I'm a father of nine and a grandfather to three. I'm just somebody who, back in about 25 years ago, became very concerned about my country. I was a homeschool dad who was beginning to learn the hard lessons about how the state was going to interfere with my parental rights and my parental responsibilities, and I decided I better start to involve myself in the political process. The rise of the Clintons in the early 90s particularly spurred me into the political realm. Here we had a man who would stand up and, well, he would carry around a big Bible, he would quote scriptures, but of course he would quote the first half of a scripture and then he would make a new second half of the verse up out of whole cloth, something that was self-aggrandizing. So that, you know, of course I began to become aware of the Holocaust of abortion that has been going on in our country for decades. And so, you know, I just kind of stepped in and began to familiarize myself with the political process, and one thing led to another. And, you know, 25 years later, battle after battle after battle, and all of that time, here we are. The country is still in dire shape, continuing to get worse. I think most people understand that now. You know, you were talking about elections, Doug. Look, people forget the Soviet Union had elections. Was it Stalin or Lenin? I can't remember which one of them infamously said, it isn't who votes that counts, it's who counts the votes. Our political system, sadly, has been captured by the money people, by the media people, by the party political hacks. We're supposed to have a form of representative constitutional self-government. We're supposed to have government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And that's not the case anymore. I mean, you've been watching the Republican process like all of us, I'm sure. What did it start out? They said there were 17 candidates, I believe, in the Republican field. Well, most people don't know, there were hundreds of people running in the Republican Party for president. Hundreds. I don't know how many hundreds. I haven't checked for a long time. I know it was over 250. But you never heard about the others. All you heard about were the 16, 17 candidates that the party and the media and the money people said that you had to consider. That was it.
Yeah,
and that's the only names they ever polled. Then they set up the debate so it, you know, you had to have poll numbers to be in the debate. You can't get poll numbers if they don't pull your name.
Then they had the first tier and second tier debate, too, which, you know, putting people in categories of, you know, you're going to be in the exclusive debate, whether you're going to be in the second tier debate. I thought that was very disingenuous and was surprised that they did that. But you're right. Only those names that were in the actual televised national debates were the names given to the people as choices.
You know, back in 2000, actually 1996, I met my friend Dr. Alan Keyes. In 2000, I became very involved in his presidential campaign, and I was his national political director for some time. So I became very intimate with the presidential selection process. However, by 2008, the process had become totally corrupted. We tried to run Alan Keyes again in 2008 in the Republican Party, and they blackballed him. They just plain blackballed him. In fact, here in Iowa, in the 2008 Iowa caucuses, they didn't even count Alan Keyes' votes. So this was one of the things that ushered us out the door of the GOP then. Their nomination of the guy that I happen to call John Judas McCain kind of sealed the deal. You know, sadly, the GOP has become a culture of compromise. No matter how much good rhetoric you might hear in the primary process, whatever, they're always running you through the chutes, running you through the chutes, just like sheep on the way to the slaughter, until at the end you're going to be asked to give up all of the principles that you say you believe in. And it's happening again.
Absolutely.
In this election cycle.
Absolutely.
So what we need, you know, it's one thing to point out what's wrong, but I believe if you're going to do that, you need to say, well, what can we do about it? What we need is we need to start at the bottom as Christians, and we need to build a culture of political principle with accountability. And so that's what we've been trying to do for a number of years, is to raise up leaders, new leaders from the bottom up, people who have a proven understanding of the core principles of the country and, you know, have a track record of actually standing without compromise for those principles. So I hope tonight there's two main things that I would love to talk to you guys about. One is the return to principle that must occur if we're going to have any chance of delivering a free country to our children and our grandchildren. And the other side is the process, what we have to do to reclaim this process and take our country back.
Okay.
And you know, I believe that 2016 marks a crossroads, a very important crossroads. So, yes, we are interested in those two aspects in which you want to talk about, and let's get it started, because I really believe, Tom, that you've got a lot to offer. I believe that you are a viable candidate, and when I say that, I mean, we can make a difference. Every person listening tonight, the Christian conservatives I'm speaking to, you can make a difference. And Tom is going to tell you exactly how you can make that difference.
If we can open with a question, Tom, I'd like to ask you, affecting the most change politically, is this done locally, on a state level, or nationally?
Well, I always tell people, if you really think you're going to clean up Washington while ignoring, you know, cleaning up your own house and cleaning up the politics of your own community and cleaning up our state capitals, there are a lot of people who want to send power back to the states, and I do too, where that's legitimate. But the fact is, our state capitals are corrupt just like Washington is corrupt now. It's just a question of scale. So, you know, it's got to start from the bottom up. You've got to educate yourself. You got to stop compromising the things that should be negotiable, non-negotiable for Christians. It's got to start with you. You know, Doug said I'm viable. Well, I am viable if the Christians will step up. We've constructed a campaign that is completely reliant on Christians stepping up and doing the right thing. You know, most people, they look at the situation, they say, oh, it's too late. You can't run. You can't get on ballots. No, they don't know anything about our electoral system and our 50-state election process if they say that. There's plenty of time. All we lack is the people to get out and do a few simple things in order to fulfill their civic responsibilities. This can be done. As we go along, I'll tell you a little bit about the last two election cycles and how we managed to get ballot access, and let your listeners kind of get a little better understanding of how this process works. And I hope when we're done, they'll understand. We do have the ability to take the country back. So far, all we've lacked as the body of Christ is the will to do so and the understanding.
Okay. And one of the questions, when I was talking with an individual who watches our program and listens to our program, we had a brief conversation today, and he said, well, okay, who are you having on tonight? And I told him, and he said, well, what makes you think that this gentleman, meaning you, even has a shot at the White House? I mean, how can Tom Hoefling, have a shot at winning the White House or even making a dent? And I said, you know, from what I learned from our off-air conversation yesterday, it's not a difficult process or not a complicated. Well, it's not a difficult process. I guess it's one that has been made difficult through the brainwashing and programming of the citizens. I kind of think that to be the case. And the more educated we can we can make our listeners, the more that they can believe that they can change the or make a change. And that is, so perhaps before we even get started, I guess if, you know, how would you respond to someone looking at you and you know, and you saying, yeah, I am the candidate for the office of the President of the United States in 2016, and having that person say, yeah, right. I mean, what is your response to that? How do you overcome that mental hurdle? Of saying, oh, you'll never get it. I mean, you know, how do you do that?
Well, I think you just kind of have to be blunt with people. You kind of got to show them very quickly that they're the problem, okay? I'm not the problem. The process isn't the problem. Their way of thinking is the problem. Invariably, when I get done talking to groups of Christian folks, invariably, almost 100% of them say, Tom, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about the principles. You're absolutely right on the public policies that we need. You've laid out the definitive conservative position for us. And then they say that awful word. They say, but. But. And then they go into the kind of stuff you just described with your friend. And, you know, what you have to get them to realize is, look, still in this country, you know, they've been surveying, you know, polls can be manipulated, whatever, but sometimes some survey information has some usefulness for understanding things. I think the pollsters still say that about 70% of the American people still lay claim, they self-identify as Christians. Now, most mature Christians understand that that's probably not accurate. In other words, 70% of the American people probably aren't really Christians, but they may just have that name. You know, the kind of people you ask them, you know, how long have you been a Christian? And they tell you, oh, all my life, you know, since I was born, right? They don't really understand. But if even one-third of that 70% would stand up, you know, begin to understand the principles that this country was founded on, which were godly principles, if they would, you know, decide, okay, I'm not going to compromise these things any longer for any politician or any political party ever. If even a third of that 70% would do that, the Christians in this country would be an unstoppable political force. So,
absolutely. So
that's what we need to make them understand. On the website, not too far down the front page on TomHoefling.com, one of my supporters sent me a little graphic yesterday or the day before, I can't remember which. And it's a little graphic of a circle and circular reasoning. In the middle, it's got Hoefling 2016. And on the one side, it says, he can't win. And then you go up to the top, and the other side, because I won't vote for them. And it just, they don't realize. They're using circular logic. And they've just kind of got them trapped on what I call the Republican hamster wheel. They're just going round and round, hoping at some point, maybe, the Republican Party will give them some kind of little piece of cheese or something. Of course, they never do. But, you know, they maintain this hope.
That's right.
I mean, how many Christians do you know who don't understand at this point that they've been completely betrayed by the Republican Party? How many don't understand at this point that they have no intention of stopping this abortion holocaust? I mean, how many decades is it going to take before you understand that their strategy is flawed, it's immoral, it's unconstitutional, and it's not working? Most people understand they're not going to lift a finger to protect God's institution of marriage. They understand that they're not going to rein in these judges, that they've all become a bunch of judicial supremacists who think that we live in a judicial oligarchy instead of the constitutional republic that was handed to us, a great sacrifice, a great price by our forefathers. Mm-hmm. Most people understand this, even down to budget items, taxes. Pretty much everybody just assumes in Washington the Republicans are going to betray you.
That's
and
right.
So, you know, it's kind of like the abused spouse. I mean, how many beatings do you have to take before you realize this guy isn't going to change?
You're right. And sadly, yeah, most Americans are going to take severe beatings, if not, you know, we often say that people don't realize how bad things are until the boot of the police or military knock down your door.
And just to be clear with our listeners right now, you know, Tom Hoefling is no... he's very familiar with the process. In 2008, Tom Hoefling founded America's Party. This is a long-term project designed to rebuild the rebuild principled government of the people, by the people, and for the people, without regard to political affiliation or political party affiliation. And he served as the as the party's national chairman. And then 4 years later, America's Party in convention nominated Tom Hoefling to be its standard bearer for the office of the President of the United States. And Tom was later unanimously nominated for president by the state convention of American Independent Party of California. And there he garnered more than 40,000 votes in November in that general election, again, 2012, placing 8th in the popular vote nationally, according to the FEC. All right. And if write-in votes had been counted, in many of the states, he would have placed considerably higher. And then moving forward in December 2nd, 2013, Tom Hoefling announced his intention to seek the 2014 Republican nomination for Iowa governor. And you know what, folks? He went on to receive more than 26,000 votes in the June 2014 primary. And he was up against the longest-serving governor in American history. But since then, he's continued his national, state, and local efforts by strongly urging fellow citizens to return to the moral and constitutional basis of American liberty and self-government. The bottom line is, Steve Quayle always says, look, there is no political solution political solutions to spiritual problems. Well, Tom Hoefling brings that. Spiritual solutions to his platform. So that's who we're talking with tonight. His website is tomhoefling.com, linked off of Hagman and Hagman.com. All right. That gives people a good, clear understanding that you're no slouch in really getting rallying the people, behind you. And you've got a good track record here. So,
well, I really want to give attention to the spiritual part, the moral part, the principle part, but I do want to add to what you just said, Doug. The 2012 effort, we did that without any money at all. In fact, we intentionally set out to do that without any money. We didn't raise or expend one nickel. What we've done is we've returned to the old American process of electing presidents. William McKinley got elected president over a century ago, and he never left his front porch, and he never spent one dime. So at one time, it was considered uncouth for presidential candidates to campaign for themselves. And so they just sit on their front porch, and their supporters would go out and be campaign managers and run their campaign. They would put together delegations to get on the train and ride out to Ohio and sit on the front porch with William McKinley and other candidates through history and just speak with them. Reporters would come with their little notepads and interview them right there on the porch. Well, what we're doing is, you know, you don't have to get on a train. You don't have to get on a plane or a bus or an automobile and come and trample down my vegetable garden or bother my dog or my kids, okay? We've got the technology. You know, we have conference calls. In fact, we've got another one tonight. We've been doing them for 8.5 years, free conference lines. We just get people on the phone together twice a week. And we spend a couple hours talking through the news, talking through principle, talking through everything that's on people's hearts and minds, and talking these things out. So We don't need the money. You know, the men who won our independence from Great Britain and secured our liberty, they did that in terms of communications with handwritten letters delivered by men on horseback. Right. You know, crude printing presses, printing out broadsides or what we would call flyers today. That's how they did it. We've got cell phones, we've got internet connections, we've got computers, free email, free conferencing, free web video, free web radio, and a long list of ways to communicate with each other. I've just been telling people for a long time, look, if we won't use these resources that we have at our fingertips to save our country, it's not because we can't at this point. It's because we lack the will to do it.
Indeed.
Yeah. I used to have the defeatist attitude that you mentioned at the beginning of the show, where I once thought there was no hope and things were lost and there was nothing that we could do to salvage the republic that once was. And through the counseling of different guests and whatnot and studying scripture, I learned that I was very wrong and that we have to continue not only to have a good attitude about it, but continue to work and toward the goal of changing things for the better, no matter how bleak the situation looks.
And one more thing, you had mentioned the summit, the National Town Hall, folks. If you go to TomHoefling.com, his website, again, it can be found right on Hagman & Hagman in the description there, or at the YouTube description. Very simply, you could take part of that tonight. Mr. Hoefling is going to be a very busy guy entertaining a lot of questions. Folks, it's right there. Go to TomHoefling.com. Click on the front porch there. Read about the ability for you to ask him questions one-on-one. The numbers there, along with the passcode, and all of goodwill are welcome. So I just want to put that out there. So, Tom, let's take it. Help us out here. Where do you want to start? Where should we start? We're going to give you the floor to the extent that, you know, you want it. You've got your platform listed. But let's start how you want to.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Doug, I want to move back off the process stuff for a while. I mean, it is important, and we should talk more about that. But I want to go back to the most important thing. The reason the country is dying is because of a departure from truth, principle. This country was founded on an understanding of the Bible by our founders. An understanding of natural law. This is the ground that our republic was built upon, was that understanding. Of course, those natural law moral principles were expressed in the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Of course, that starts with the right to life, liberty, property. Okay, so they understood that. They didn't quibble about it. They didn't debate about it. They simply asserted as self-evident truth. To put it in the modern vernacular, these things are as plain as the nose on your face, okay? These are the things that are obvious to any reasonable, honest person, that our rights come from God, not from any man. Okay, so those rights are unalienable. Not only can you not have them legitimately stripped away from you as an individual person, but you can't even legitimately give them away, because they actually, these gifts belong to God. This is the founding principle. This is the cornerstone of our country's civic life, our claim to liberty, our claim to be a self-governing people. So Christians need to get back to that principle, that our rights come from God. So when you look around and you see anything in our government that is violating the laws of nature and nature's God, as the founders termed it, then those laws, those public policies, they are illegitimate. When the Supreme Court says it's okay to kill little babies, That is an illicit opinion. That is not the law. It's a violation of God's law. It's a violation of the laws of nature. It's a violation of the principles of the Declaration of Independence, our national charter. Abortion violates every single clause of the stated purposes of the U.S. Constitution, which is the supreme law of our land. And abortion also violates the explicit imperative requirements of the Fifth and the Fourteenth Amendments, plus the equal protection and due process requirements of all of our state constitutions. So Christians have to come to this understanding, and they got to get it through their heads. Without this principle, we got nothing. As long as we're allowing them to continue to slaughter thousands of babies in this country is doomed. God is going to judge us, okay? He always judges the shedding of innocent blood.
Sure.
Yeah. I apologize for interrupting. Maybe you have some clarity on this. We live in a society today where, you know, the Department of Homeland Security has the See Something, Say Something initiatives. They're saying, you know, basically all Americans and their beliefs are extremist beliefs. And at the same time, we have the Center for Medical Progress documenting and publicly releasing evidence against Planned Parenthood about the murder that they commit against babies and the selling of body parts and fetal tissue. Yet they are the ones that are not only persecuted in the media, but prosecuted in the courts. How can a Christian fight a system that is determined not to get to the truth of the matter, but to punish those who wish to produce the truth?
Well, the first thing I would say, Joe, is they must be challenged and they must be fought at every level. Look, this all comes down to two things. The oath of office and the character of the people taking that oath, okay? We're supposed to have a system of checks and balances. So when you see public officials becoming tyrants, such as the situation you're describing, at that point, if you have public officials, whether they're judges or legislators or presidents or governors, it doesn't matter. If they are getting outside of their sworn duties and beginning to do illegitimate things, tyrannical things, it is incumbent on the rest of the people who have taken their oath of office to fight them with all of the power of their offices. See, this is what we've lost. We have a generation now of politicians who think that the oath of office, excuse me, is nothing more than a formality. It's another photo op. Okay? It shouldn't be. So this is the problem. And this is why we have to begin, we have to get back to principle, we have to stop compromising them for any politician, and we've got to start making the demand that they follow their oath. If they don't do it, throw them out. That's what we have to do. We have to. This isn't optional. If we don't do this, this country will not survive. These wonderful blessings of liberty that were handed to us by 10, 12, 14 generations of those who went before us will be squandered for our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. They will be gone. They're almost gone now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we have time here. We have to begin to deal with this, and we have to get back to the fundamentals and quit compromising. So, you know, those people down there, they need to be fought. The state officials should be reining them in.
Okay.
This is going on in Texas, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Texas is completely dominated by the Republican Party. The Republican Party has, for years, has enjoyed every single statewide executive office. Okay? They've enjoyed super majorities in their state legislature. They elect judges in Texas. The judges in Texas are overwhelmingly Republican. But guess what? They're still killing babies in Texas. They're starting to marry homosexuals, quote unquote, marry.
Right.
Okay? You know, what is wrong with this picture? People don't realize it was bad legislating in Texas that led to Roe v. Wade. They treated unborn babies differently in the Texas code before 1973 than they did other persons. And when Roe v. Wade wended its way to the Supreme Court, the Supreme Court looked at it and said, you don't treat them like persons, so we're not going to either. Since then, the Texas code has been loaded up by pro-life legislators and governors with code sections that, on the one hand, recognize the personhood of the unborn child, and then in the next paragraph lays out explicit governmental permission to kill those babies as long as they're killed on schedule or by the rules.
Is that like, okay, if you shoot a pregnant woman, you would get charged with a double murder if the fetus and the woman dies, but if you go through a medical procedure to terminate your baby, it is legal?
Yeah, it's crazy.
The strategy, and this what I'm going to say is going to be shocking to a lot of your listeners, but the whole strategy of the pro-life movement for the past four decades is a utilitarian strategy. It is not a Christian strategy, a moral strategy, a constitutional strategy, or a decent legal strategy. It's utilitarian in nature, and all it's done is load up our state codes and the U.S. code with permission to kill babies. It's codified that into our laws. So we've got to start finding new leaders who understand this and will stop doing that, and realizing that their oath requires them to provide equal protection and due process for every person in this country, and that includes little unborn persons.
As your platform states, you know, and folks, you can find his platform on his website, but restore governmental protection for the equal right of all innocent persons, including unborn persons, to live. And, you know, and I know you've spoken to Greg Jackson, and Greg Jackson's been on our program. Since we're on the topic of the murdering of the unborn, why is it? I mean, well, it's sad that we're looking at a Supreme Court opinion as the law of the land. Isn't that we've been really thoroughly brainwashed that we have to accept this as the law of the land? It's not. It's an opinion by the Supreme Court, and any opinion that's in contrast or in opposition to biblical principles or the Constitution is no law at all, right? I mean, this is plain and simple, but people have been brainwashed.
This judicial supremacist lie is it's a coup d'etat. This idea that somehow the courts are the supreme law of the land, their opinions are the supreme law of our land, that the idea that courts can make our laws, the idea that the courts have the veto power, that's not in the Constitution. The only thing the courts are empowered to do legitimately is to decide the cases that come before them, and only according to the Constitution and all constitutional laws that the legislative branch has passed and the executives have signed into law. That's the extent of their legitimate power. So this idea that the courts rule over us is destroying the country. Let me give you the most vivid example of our generation. What's it been now? 12 years ago, down in Florida, they tortured to death Terri Schiavo.
Right.
They tortured her to death. They dehydrated her to death. I was there. I was asked to come down and help deal with the press jackals, help the Schindler family deal with the press jackals. I went down there. I saw that whole thing unfold. And look, that all started with an alleged husband who wanted to kill her. And a tin-pot probate judge, part of the Bush network down in Florida, a Republican, signed a virtual death warrant for this innocent woman. He didn't say, you can go ahead and kill her. He said, you must go ahead and dehydrate her to death. Now, that's one thing, to have a judge do that. But how did the other officials who were supposed to check someone like this down in Florida, what did they do? What did the Florida courts do? Nothing. What did the attorney general in Florida, Charlie Crist, do? He hid under his desk. Couldn't find the guy. What did the governor, Jeb Bush, do? He went out in front of the cameras and said, oh, I wish somebody would show me how I can save her. So we went down there, and our friend Alan Keyes went to Tallahassee and camped out on his doorstep with a brilliant written brief, not only explaining how he could save her, but why he must in order to fulfill the obligations of his oath of office. He swore to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, which requires equal protection and due process. The Florida Constitution, Article 1, Section 2, requires the same thing. It even mentions the disabled explicitly. He swore to do that. He didn't. He didn't step up and protect her. He played Pontius Pilate in that whole passion play, okay?
Right.
I'm quite gratified to see his political career crash and burn. Because of that one thing, I would never support him in a million years because he didn't do his job to protect her. The federal government, the courts, the President of the United States, they could have stepped up and saved her, but they didn't. So this is what happens when you buy the judicial supremacist lie. Individuals pay the price with their lives.
Wow.
That's how serious this one question is. And frankly, all of the Republicans in leadership now running for president, they're all judicial supremacists. They all think Obergefell, which was the so-called gay marriage opinion, they think it's the law of the land because the court said so. They think they are more powerful than the laws of nature and nature's God. They think they are more powerful than the supreme law of our land, the Constitution. They have no regard for the obligations of their oath. This is why the country is in the trouble it's in, folks.
Yeah, when you have elected officials hiding under their desk and people like you and Coach Dave Dobmeier, you know, going down to Florida, Coach Dave actually getting arrested trying to bring Ms. Shiva water. It's a really messed up situation. And this didn't happen yesterday. This happened over a decade ago.
Yeah, and Tom, as we're approaching the top of the hour, I just want to say this. We have got a vast listening audience of evangelical Christians, of conservative Christians, of conservatives and Christians. And you know, now there's no excuse for anybody out there to say they cannot vote their conscience, because here we have a man in the form of Tom Hoefling saying to you, I will uphold the sanctity of life, the laws, the spiritual. I will adhere to my spiritual mandate, the mandate that the office of presidency requires, and step up and step in and fight for the unborn, fight for people like Terri Schiavo, and make things right. So there you go. I mean, you want options, you want a candidate, you want somebody that you can actually back in good conscience. You're talking to them or listening to them. Here you are. Am I right?
Well, and they can join me on my front porch later, and they can talk to me directly. They don't have to depend on Fox News or CNN or anybody else to filter things for them. They can come on our conference call tonight. We'll stay on 2-3 hours if folks want us to. And they can ask me directly. We don't need the media. We don't need money. We can do it ourselves with God's help.
With God's help. And that's so underestimated today. You know, we wear the badge of Christianity, at least behind our keyboard, or maybe even on our sleeve, so to speak. But do we practice that? Do we believe that? I dare say that many Christians don't. We don't need, and you're right, we don't need stinking money. Oh yeah. You know what we need? We need faith in God. And when we need your principles, the principles that adhere to the Bible and the Constitution, and we need people of action, not of words.
Absolutely.
So this is,
amen.
Man, I'll tell you something, Tom.
We're already at the top of the hour break. First hour just went so fast, and
it did.
No, it always does. Our guest is Tom
Hoefling from DomHoefling.com,
and the party. I'm sorry, the political party.
Yes, the political party. Tom, is the political party the American Party, or is it
No. No, it's America's Party.
America's
and you can find
party.
Our... Yeah, you can find that platform at selfgovernment.us.
Selfgovernment.us. Okay.
We'll be right back.
Thank you, buddy.
Okay.